Holy Gospel for the second Sunday of the Easter season is from John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if this text about the risen Jesus giving the Holy Spirit to the disciples and Thomas missing the whole thing and Jesus coming back for him sounds familiar to you, it probably is because it's in almost every children's Bible that's ever been published. And it's also because on this Sunday, every year, it is the exact same text. Now, we use this revised, lectionary, and it's in three pieces, A, B, and C. Typically, Matthew's Gospel, then Mark's Gospel, then Luke's Gospel, and then they give a sprinkling of John everywhere else. And there isn't any other Sunday that repeats the exact same text, regardless of whether the rest of it's Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It's the only one. You get a steady diet of it. So something's going on here that makes this one special. That makes this one stand out and make this one treated differently than every other. That makes this one something that folks have said, they really ought to hear this every year. We shouldn't take a break from this one. It's not that it's so much about Thomas. It's about the Holy Spirit, and it's about us. Who doesn't feel like sometimes they've been in Thomas's shoes, at least for that one week? When I was on internship back in 1976, it's been a while, We were in New York City, and there were three other intern pastors. Not sure what the Presbyterians call them. Do you call them interns or vicars or student pastors or something? We serve in a congregation for a year after having 2 years of training. And we come out there, and then part of it is so that we learn how parishes and congregations actually work, the nuts and the bolts. Part of it is to show us that we thought we were so smart after 2 years of theology, and when now we really understand that we don't know everything. And then we got to go back for our fourth year and try to pick up everything that we wished we'd known while we were on internship. But the four of us would meet every 3 months just to check in and take care of each other, give us a chance with people that are going through exactly the same thing. If you've got an amazing supervising pastor, you can talk about that. If you got a supervising pastor that makes you crazy, you can talk about that. No one's ever going to know you said that. And you struggle with the stuff that's been new or surprising. And then after a couple of these sessions together, you get to the last one and you start to talk about faith. Do I believe this enough so that I can be a pastor in the church? I mean, you know, most days, okay. But what about when it gets really rugged? Is that normal? One of the interns said, how come I don't get to have one of these biblical experiences of God's presence? How come I don't get that? Am I supposed to have it? Does it happen after we graduate? I mean, when does this happen? And if it doesn't happen, how am I supposed to carry on? I mean, you know, we get all the Bible, and I look at Paul, and I think, well, of course, Paul, you mind? He had this amazing experience on the road to Damascus where Jesus came and talked to you. I mean, how hard is it to be a leader in the church after that? The disciples seeing Jesus all the time and experiencing him after he rose from the dead? How easy is it? Moses, burning bush. All these heroes of the Bible that the texts focus on have these amazing experiences, and it's like, I don't have that. Now what? I mean, I believe it, but how come we don't get that? Look at Thomas, for Pete's sake. Thomas didn't get it, and he complained, and then Jesus came for him. Well, okay, I'm complaining. I'll tell you, it isn't just interns who say stuff like this. This is normal for Christians who want just a little bit more assurance. But, yes, Jesus goes to Thomas and says, what, it wasn't enough that your colleagues said, we've seen the Lord? The same thing Mary Magdalene said to them. They didn't believe it either the first time. That wasn't enough? Okay, look at my hands. Put your hand in my side, if that's what it takes. But know this. Have you believed, Jesus says, because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet who believe. Those are the blessed ones. Well, okay. But then we as interns, we started looking at other less prominent biblical heroes. Moses gets the burning bush. Yeah, and that's great. But what about all those people of Israel in Egypt who listened to Moses and went, I don't know, I haven't seen a burning bush, but you know, somehow when he tells me this, I get the hint that maybe God is really there in those words. Somehow, just him telling the story dives deep into my heart. And he says, we're going to put blood on our door frames and we got to get ready to go. And they did. I don't know, who's the bigger hero? Who has the greater faith? For every one of the New Testament Pauls and Peters and all that, we have people named Barnabas. He didn't have a Damascus experience, but somehow when Paul spoke about Christ Jesus, he went, if that's true, I want that to be true. And it is, and it's true for me. Who's the bigger hero? Luke writes a gospel, wasn't a disciple. Who's the bigger hero? Who's the one Jesus is talking about when he says, blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have come to believe? Titus, Lydia, Philemon. Names. Not heroes, but ones who have heard the good news of Jesus Christ from somebody else and then stake their lives on it. That's who this text is for, and that's why maybe, yeah, at least once a year we need to hear this. Jesus says, yeah, yeah, Thomas, good for you. But you know who really excites me? The ones are going to hear you tell your story, and they're going to take it and make it their stories. They haven't seen me. But the Holy Spirit has worked hard so that now they believe and trust. And there you go. That's how it works for us. You feel like a hero this morning? You feel like you've got something maybe even more heroic than Thomas, Paul. Okay, I don't. I admit that. But I'm willing to listen to Jesus, who says, I might be, just because I'm here, listening to the good news one more time and taking it to heart one more time. This text is also full of the Holy Spirit, not just in our own faith, but in our sending. You heard it. As my Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And then he breathed the Holy Spirit into those disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit, he said. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. I'm going to ask the techie guy to put the things up. We're going to do just a little bit of Bible geek here. You know, I don't always do this, but this is important. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. You announce that, you proclaim that to them, that because of what Jesus has done, they are forgiven. You know what? They are. And we are. We heard that this morning. If you retain any, they are retained. See the red words there? Those? Translators put that in. I guess they wanted to balance it off and make it sound like it's comparable to the first part. But they're not in the text. And so here's what I say. It's not telling us that if we bind sins to people for all eternity, that they will be bound to them for all eternity. It's not in this text. What it says is, if you retain any one, they are retained. If you keep anybody, they are kept. Which is exactly what they do with Thomas, isn't it? Thomas missed the first week. So they told him, we've seen the Lord, and Thomas goes, it's attractive, I'd like to believe it, but I don't know, you know me. Unless I can see it for myself, I'd like to believe it, but I can't. But you know what? The next week, they were gathered together, and Thomas was there. I don't know, did someone say, hey, do you know if Thomas is coming this week? I knew he missed last week. Well, you know, Thomas doesn't believe it anymore. Oh. Well, somebody should go get Thomas. I don't know, do you think he'll come? He doesn't believe this anymore. Well, I'll go get Thomas then. I don't know what Thomas said, but he showed up. I mean, that's an example of exactly what Jesus said to do now that you've got the Holy Spirit. Forgive the sins of any, and they will be forgiven. And if you retain anybody, if you keep them, if you hold on to them, they will be kept. They will be retained. And that's exactly how Thomas got retained. That's what we do as the people of God. We shout to people that their sins are forgiven, and that it's not just wishful thinking, that that's a fact because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we tell them that they belong to God and to us. That's what we do. And some may show up and some may not. But it won't be because we didn't go looking. And it won't be because, you know, we said, you know, there's some requirements here. And believing is one of the requirements. No, let's pull them in. Tell the story again and again and again. What will the Holy Spirit do with that? Blessed are those who haven't seen, but they still believe. The last piece of this text is also powerful. Jesus did so many other things when he was present, John writes. There's no book big enough. But these things, these are the ones that'll be enough. When you read it, when you hear it, you will come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. And believing that, you have eternal life. Even though you haven't seen. And so we just keep telling the story. Because that's what the Holy Spirit uses. To forgive and to cause people to truly believe that they belong to God. So we do this, what the Holy Spirit has sent us to do. We tell people that they're forgiven, and it is so. We tell people that they belong. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is so. For us and for the whole world. Amen.